Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at Friends of Kevin. So excited to get my friend Cindy with us from Kenya Autism Alliance. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for having me.
I'm glad to have you on. So, Cindy, why don't we start beginning? What is autism? People hear the word all the time, but I don't think most people really know exactly what it is, including myself.
Okay. Yeah, I can shed some light. So autism has been extremely confusing in the past, but just to clarify, autism is a complex developmental disability that typically affects children between the ages of 18 months to 24. So, but then it's also characterized with communication issues and social interaction. So if I cannot communicate, then obviously I can't be able to socialize with typical human beings. So it's a complex umbrella of different disorders.
So, Cindy, how young can a child be to receive a diagnosis?
Okay, it depends. So, research has showed that between the age of 18 months to 24 months, so it also depends on the parents. Some parents typically notice different milestones are not being met by a certain month, but I would say between the age of 18 months to 2 years, or even three. So at least start from 18 months. I had a friend that actually noticed their child was not giving eye contact at age 6 months, and they eventually found out that the child was autistic. So it really varies.
Cindy, what is the cause of autism then?
That's quite a debatable topic. So I would say research has been inconclusive, to be honest with you, because some people speculate faulty genetic makeup or a chemical imbalance and environmental factors. But the buzz out there is the vaccine debate, which I'd rather not get into, but some parents are convinced there's a vaccine factor to it. But I would say I think a combination of genetic makeup and environment. But I can't, again, I'm not a scientist, so I can't exactly conclude that, but that's what's out there right now.
So, Cindy, autism is personal to you then. Do you have a child who's autistic?
I do. My son is 16 and a half, and he has autism, yes. Extremely personal for me, yes.
Now, how did you know your child was on the spectrum then?
Kevin, I actually didn't. So I took my son for the typical checkup. You know how you go 1 year, 2 years. So during his two-year checkup, his pediatrician checked him and said, oh, what's his vocabulary like? And I said, well, he's two. He doesn't have that much vocabulary, maybe 10 words, maybe 15. And she pretty much said that he needed to be at least 25 words. And that wasn't typical for my son. So she actually recommended that I take him for early intervention, which I said, okay, there's nothing to lose by doing early intervention. And she set it up for me. I called them. They came to the house. And they started doing evaluations with him, testing, and that's when I started noticing he was lining up pairs of shoes. And typical children actually line up cars, and, I mean, they play with cars, they have functional play, but he was lining up shoes and really awkward objects. And that's when I was like, I drove to Barnes & Noble, and I literally checked the symptoms of autism, and everything checked out to be what my son was doing. So I called back my pediatrician, and I said, I suspect autism. And she said, well, you need to set up an appointment with a clinical psychologist who does the evaluation and testing. So that's how I ended up finding out. Otherwise, he had hit all his milestones fine.
So it was quite interesting. Did they put a name to it when your child was diagnosed?
It was confusing, right? So when he was diagnosed, I think it was 2005. He was 2 years and 5 months. So they gave him a diagnosis of PDD-NOS, which actually stands for pervasive developmental disorders. So that's a group of disorders, and they didn't exactly have a name to it, but now it's been lumped up to ASD, which stands for autism spectrum disorders. It's an umbrella of so many different disorders. So they have gotten rid of the PDD, NOS, and now call it ASD. So that kind of makes it easier because it was not otherwise specified, and it was confusing for me at the time. When you're stuck with a label, you can't really move on to give your child the best care when you're stuck with what you don't know. So that was very confusing for me, but now it's kind of cleared, and it's helping a lot of parents, actually.
Cindy, I apologize. I want to get a little personal with you. What were your thoughts going through your head when your child was diagnosed? You know, did you grieve? I mean, like thinking, oh, I was hoping, you know, this was going to happen for my son and maybe it won't because of his diagnosis. What goes through your head when that happens? It's got to be extremely overwhelming.
I think for me, I have a very vivacious personality, and I was one of those people I like to know. So once you know, then you can do something about it. So did I grieve about it? I think I grieved for a couple days, just because I went to the doctors and the clinician, my son was in a very bad mood that day. So I got to the testing and it took a couple hours. And when the testing was happening, he was very moody. So when the conclusion came, I was like, oh, this clinician is crazy. My son was in a bad mood. I think I need a repeat. But, you know, that's like pretty much saying denial, 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 you know. And I went home. I think I cried that night. At the same time, I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to call in the morning, and it's going to probably go away, and maybe she was wrong. Then you wake up the next day, and now I think you start paying more attention to what I was starting to pay more attention to what he was doing, and I was like, oh, this is not going away. So obviously I decided, all right, fine. Grieving time, over. Now let's get to therapy. So it all depends on people's personalities, but for me, I think I gave myself maybe a couple days, weeks, and it comes on and off. You're like, oh, maybe it's not, maybe it is. There's that back and forth, but at the same time, you're like, oh, the sooner I accept it, the better for my child. So it wasn't about me at that point, it was about him. So, yeah.
That's
so there's
amazing.
A denial process. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I imagine must be hard for parents. You know, where, you know, the temptation may be to blame each other. You know, hey, you know, they got that genes from you. That must be kind of tough. You know, I don't think everyone can get to what you got to as quickly as you did.
Yeah, well, these blame games for sure, because now you start looking at your genetic tree and you're like, oh, yeah, my great-great-grandfather was like this. Maybe it was your great-grandfather. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe you start looking at each other like, okay, nobody, Kevin, tests for disorders or cancers, or people don't meet and before they get married, oh, what do you guys have in your family? Oh, we have this. So when love collides, nobody thinks about what's your genetic formation, you know? So there is that blame game for sure. And then you end up finding parents, you know, having fights and just splitting because you did this, you didn't eat the right food during your pregnancies. There's been blame game about too much fish because there's mercury, you ate too many eggs. The myths are so crazy, but parents do fight because, yeah, they think it was your side of the family or my side. And, yeah, and that really affects the children, children, if you have multiple kids on the spectrum or, you know, in general, any disorder that comes up, parents do actually have fights about it. So, which is quite unfortunate.
But Cindy, it has to be challenging because, you know, trying to find that proper support system. Because if your child's not autistic, it must be hard to figure out a way to say the right things, do the right things, and understand when maybe a child acts out and you don't really understand why. So it must be kind of isolating at first until you get that support system, right?
Yeah, it's definitely isolating. So I think the biggest challenge is you get criticized a lot because parents are like, oh, he's 2.5. Why is he throwing himself on the ground? Then you're like, oh, well, mostly two-year-olds throw themselves on the ground. So that's a neurotypical child. Then they get to 3, 4, and they're still doing meltdowns and tantrums, and people are like, oh, my God, they don't get enough discipline at home. So there's that judgmental aspect of it. And then obviously with all that, then you don't even want to go in public. So like, for example, my son used to throw a fit at the grocery store. So I was approached by a couple people different times. Is he okay? Did you do something to him? And so I was determined to not keep my son at home because groceries had to be done, laundry had to be done. So there's that criticism and people being judgmental. You know, honestly, people are judgmental anyway. So whether your child is throwing a fit and they're neurotypical or they have autism, the judgment is almost the same, probably worse off if, you know, who knows. But the judgments are pretty much there. And then obviously with that comes of that issue of will my child ever be independent? You go through all these fears as a parent. I would say the first thing is people will criticize you. People will have comments and ideas and opinions. And they'll tell you ways of raising your child, which is kind of hard to hear, but, you know, it happens all the time to the best of us. But it's what it
now,
is.
Now, are there treatments available?
So there isn't any one scientific proven treatment out there. To be honest, there's no cure for autism, but there's we have ABA, which is Applied Behavioral Analysis, which has been used a lot. So I use that for my son, and it's taming, pretty much working on the child's communication, their behavior, and I can honestly say ABA really helps your child with learning like positive behavior and reducing the negative behaviors. So then there's obviously, I would highly recommend early intervention, which of course, you sit with a clinician, they get a diagnosis, and they do the early intervention with your son, with your child. I don't want to say son, but with your child, they do early intervention. And they also do what they call picture exchange. It's PECS in short, picture exchange communication system, that really gives your child a visual. So because kids with autism, Kevin, they don't, language is an issue, so when you show them a picture, it cuts out all the language that you have to use. You talking too much is like, for them, show me a picture, they'll know, pineapple or mango or apple. So that picture exchange really helps with the visual piece of communication a lot. So as far as treatment, I honestly think there's so many interventions out there, but what I personally used was the ABA piece. So I don't know that there is a cure out there. I'm sure the scientists are still trying to figure that out. It would
so
be nice.
Cindy, how can people reach out to you? How can they learn more about what you're doing?
So I have a nonprofit organization called Kenya Autism Alliance. We have a website and we have a page, and there's all the information there. I share all the time, every day. And also, if people need to email me, they can email us at info@kenyaautismalliance.org. And, yeah, I'm always available. People can call me. Once you email me, we can exchange phone numbers and we can talk from there. So I'm always open to supporting a new mom, new dad, single dad, everything pertaining to autism. It's not an easy journey to do this by yourself. A good support system is super critical. I didn't have that support, and that's how I started the Kenya Autism Alliance organization, just to give parents an ear and a platform to openly talk about their children without being judged.
Cindy, thank you so much for calling into the show. Really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you,
and thanks for taking the time to call in. Thanks for being my friend. Have a good day, Cindy.
Oh, awesome. You too. Thank you, Kevin. Have a good day.
Yeah. Bye now.
Bye.
Here today, gone today. The pace of change can be confusing. Then again, it can be inspiring. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you build the self-confidence and decision-making skills it takes to thrive on change. Fight change with change. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
Alexa, play Imagine Dragons.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.